All right, welcome back. We are continuing our conversation with Cheryl Atkinson of CBS News about Benghazi, the hearing next week, and the events as they occurred. It really is amazing because we have four families who lost family members who have no answers, no answers at all. And we're coming up on 8 months. Yesterday, finally, the FBI released photographs of the suspects. What took so long? I mean, they have surveillance footage from that night. How did it take 8 months to isolate them when in Boston we had them in 3 days?
We are left only to speculate what it is exactly that the administration is sensitive about. Are there national security concerns that they haven't explained? Are there sensitivities for other reasons, political sensitivities? You remember the surveillance video, perhaps you remember, was promised. Unclassified version was promised to be released around last Thanksgiving, and then we never heard of it again. And I've been asking for that since that time. Where is the surveillance video? Is it possible that someone could have recognized players on that? Certainly people in Benghazi, you would think, could have recognized some of the players on that video if it had been released. And then the next thing we heard about, it, as you said, was yesterday. Finally, three blurry images were released almost 8 months later.
Right, 8 months after you could change your appearance a dozen times in that amount of time easily. So I'm not sure how much, I hope it does good, but I'm not sure how much good it's going to do. But back to the Susan Rice comments on the Sunday shows and the original spin from the first 2 weeks of that. The man who made that YouTube video that the administration blamed for this is still in prison. Is there any word on his condition? I mean, he was being threatened. Obviously, he had a fatwa put on his head because he made an awful movie that mocked the Prophet Muhammad. Is there any word on his release, his condition?
No, my producer and I asked him for an interview through his attorney, and he we spoke to the jail keeper where he's being held, mm-hmm. and the message we got back was he didn't desire to do any interviews. So we really can't get to him. But my question to the White House was, I had several questions on that angle. Is it true, I asked, that Mrs. Clinton told family members when this first happened, instead of saying, you know, we will catch whoever's responsible for this attack, is it true that she said, as reported, we will catch whoever made that video, as if she's blaming the video or at least directing blame toward the video, when by almost all accounts since then, they knew the video had nothing to do with the attack in Benghazi.
Right, that was reported, that was at the memorial service when the bodies returned to the United States, allegedly, and that's been out there since the first week, and they're being held to account, you're holding them to account, but somehow, how is it that they've been able to ignore this story for so long? Why is this so uninteresting to your contemporaries, your colleagues in the media?
Well, you know, some are very interested and some are not. I can't explain why. I find the same phenomenon with viewers and friends. I mean, some of them are extremely interested, and I've actually had friends say, you know, it's very sad that four people died, but there are a lot of other important things happening in the world. And I said, well, you know, we can multitask. We don't have to pick two stories
right,
and just cover the top two. But back to the video, I think there's one other really important point that may seem a little off to some people, but it's not to me. The government took steps after that YouTube video to try to remove it from the web,
mm-hmm.
and crack down sort of on that content of that video. And I've asked the White House, what is the new policy there for? Are there certain videos that you don't believe, you know, certain free, that some people would consider free speech videos, that you will now try to have pulled off the web? Like, what is the policy you've established by your desire to pull off this video? Are there only offensive videos to certain religions you will want to pull down? Is it offensive videos to all religions? I just don't see how you can take one case and make an exception and try to do something that seems to set a precedent and not explain how that's going to apply to how you feel about other free speech questions across the board.
Well, to YouTube's credit, they refused to take that video down. And I watched the video. It's horribly boring. It's awfully produced. It's just a bad video on top of being, I can see it being offensive. If it was about Christians, it would be offensive. But the man has every right to do it. He shouldn't be rotting in prison over that. And he was scapegoated by this administration in an attempt to make this go away. Now, how much of this, the disinterest in, on behalf of many in the media, not all, but many, do you think is based on the original 2 weeks of this is a response to a video, and they just sort of bought that and moved on?
Well, I think that's a good question, because I do think the first couple of weeks, and I was not covering this from the first day. I was brought into this by CBS maybe a couple of weeks in, when we were trying to, we knew there was something that, you know, to dig at that really had not been touched upon in a full way. The first couple of weeks, I thought there was very little coverage, very little sort of outrage on the American public's part of the event that had happened in this, you know, other country. It just didn't seem to rise to the level of what you might expect from what had happened. But I think a great deal of that was because a lot of information wasn't out. It was incorrect. I mean, in the early days, the first reports we got implied from the government that this event had happened very quickly, very short, was over early. They wouldn't tell us what time it ended. It was only, you know, after pushing and pushing and comparing the different timelines and accounts we've been given that we started to realize how long this had gone on,
mm-hmm.
And how much had happened, and that, you know, that it was really maybe even more serious than we realized in the beginning.
Much was made about the 7 minutes President George W. Bush sat in that classroom in Florida on 9/11. That would be my suspicion as to why we don't know what the President Obama's movements were on this September 11th, because given the time of day, it seems to have involved a lot of sleep. Cheryl Atkinson, I don't want to put those words in your mouth. Those are my thoughts at all. But I thank you for your reporting, and I thank you for your time, and I look forward to this hearing next week and continuing to follow your work at CBS News.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.